Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. That's the name of the show right here, Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Hey, we have 184 radio stations. Is that right, Walker? Is that the number?
Either 183 or 184.
Right in that vicinity?
Yes, sir.
I thought it was like 183 and a half, but I'm just
Can you have half of you have half of a radio station, Ed?
I'm just overly diplomatic.
I always say 200, but maybe I'm wrong.
Well, 183, 104, you are wrong because you're about 15 short there. But if you wanted to use that as a roundup figure.
We've got to be busy here. Let's get some radio stations
so
up there.
We have, if you want to know, we have stations all over the country.
183
radio stations belonging to the American Family Radio Network. We also have thousands and thousands of people who listen to us on our app, on our AFR app. Just download that. It takes you about 60 seconds to download. And you can listen anywhere in the world on your phone or on your iPad or similar device. Clear as a bell to American Family Radio. So just download that app and listen anywhere you go. A lot of people take advantage of that. So we appreciate however you listen by the app or whether you listen by the app or whether you listen over one of our traditional radio stations that have a tower that beam out our signal. We appreciate you listening to American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano and Walker Wildman and Steve Jordahl.
Good morning.
He is sitting in the newsman anchor seat here for us. Good morning, Steve.
How are you doing today?
About once a month you wear the all black.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't
Johnny Cash.
I don't really keep track. It's just this is the way I do it. Whatever pops into my head when I get out of bed in the morning, that's what I go.
But you have to know you're wearing all black, Steve. That isn't random, right?
Well, I knew it once I put it on. Once I got out of bed, thought black. Today's black with a gold tie.
It is a gold tie.
Because I think I wore my purple tie last time.
Well, anyway, the man in black is here to deliver the news. What do you got first, Steve?
Because you're mine. I walk the line. Okay.
Not bad, actually.
The Judicial Watch, a group that is headed by Tom Fitton, is continuing to do hero's work. They're the ones that are subpoenaing, doing freedom of information requests, and getting all of the emails that you're seeing basically come out of Washington. They just continue to dig and find things. And what they have found today dates back. Do you remember back in 2013, 2014, when Lois Lerner at the IRS was accused of targeting conservative groups who were looking for 501c4 status?
Yeah, I do remember that.
And then she took the Fifth Amendment instead of telling people, instead of
she tried
testifying
to
Congress.
Right. She sat in front of Congress and pleaded the Fifth the whole time. Well, Judicial Watch has uncovered notes from a meeting that happened between members of Capitol Hill and the staff of a Senate counsel and the IRS. Attending these things were a bunch of Hill staffers, including a guy named Henry Koerner, who at the time was the minority staff director and minority chief counsel and an aide to Senator John McCain of Arizona. And for the IRS, among many that were there, was Miss Lois Lerner. And they were talking about having what kind of testing that these groups had to go through if they decided they want to be C3 or C4. And Mr. Koerner asked how to get the abuse of organizations claiming you to be C4 but were primarily political, which was one of the accusations that was made against Miss Lerner, that that's how she targeted these groups. Henry Koerner noted that these organizations didn't have to disclose donors, and one of the other people said if the concern is that the organizations are engaging in this activity and don't disclose donors, then the system doesn't work. Henry Koerner said maybe it's a solution to audit so many of these that it is financially ruinous. He wanted to go over and ruin these groups that were part of the
just constantly audit them, so they have to spend for lawyers and accountants.
Right.
And this was a staffer for John McCain.
This is true.
Documented? Well, I have the document here. I went and got the actual document and went through all. It was just 11 pages.
Yeah, the IRS had a system set up internally to where if your organization's name that you were filing for had Patriots or Patriotic, and they had a list of code word of keywords that it would flag them if they filed for to.
They were trying to kill the Tea Party movement. That was the point.
Exactly.
But that doesn't surprise me. Senator John McCain's staffer, because they hated the Tea Party movement too.
This is why
you know what? Something like this that's an abuse of power. And this guy is what is a fella? A man?
Yes.
Okay, he should be
Henry.
Okay.
He identifies as a man.
Does he still work for Senator McCain?
Kerner was appointed by President Trump as special counsel for the United States Office of Special Counsel.
This guy's working for the Trump administration?
Wonderful.
He's working for Mueller.
I don't understand.
Oh, my goodness.
How can you work for Mueller?
Kerner was appointed by President Trump as special counsel for the United States Office of Special Counsel. Well, he's a lawyer for the Office of Special Counsel. I don't know if Mueller reports
to them,
but...
Yeah, I give up. I can't understand.
He's still
that.
In Washington. He's still doing his thing.
You understand this, Ed?
I'm
not blaming you.
Can I nod and pretend like I do? So people on Facebook will think I do, but I'm going to say no while I'm nodding.
Senator McCain.
I understand he's appointed to the Office of Special Counsel, but what is it that you don't understand? Why President Trump would appoint someone like that?
Well, he didn't know it.
He didn't know it, I guess.
No. This was,
But this guy needs to be fired today.
Mm-hmm.
This is true.
Because that's...
Or he needs to be under invest. He needs to be... Somebody needs to investigate him because this is...
Well, I'm not sure making the suggestion is illegal, but if the IRS actually went ahead and abused power, then maybe he's part of a conspiracy. Well, I don't know if they audited these, to ruin them.
But the point of the story is... People are carrying out illegal activity and highly recommending illegal activity, and no one answers for it.
No.
Lois Lerner goes before Congress and gives a statement and then pleads the fifth. You can't do that.
Right.
When you plead the fifth,
but she did. She got away with it.
And she got away with it. The congressional chairman of that committee, whoever it was, whether it be Trey Gowdy or somebody else, should have said, Ms. Lerner, you just gave up your Fifth Amendment. I'm sorry, you're going to have to stay seated and answer our questions.
Or you'll be cited for contempt of Congress.
Yeah. You see what's happening now with the Devin Nunes, the congressman of California, who has the oversight of the Justice Department, right?
Yeah. House
congressional oversight, because we have to have oversight by our Congress of these federal agencies, or else you have no accountability. Well, the FBI has been stalling him for his request for information for a year or so, and they're still doing it, and there's no consequences.
Well, Friday at 5 p.m. close of business, this past Friday, that all the documents were supposed to be in, and they only sent some.
Right.
But who's going to make the? But nobody's making the FBI pay. It's
to Walker's point, I mean, heads should be rolling. People should be under investigation. There should be criminal charges. All this stuff going on, and it's not just a swamp, like we frequently, like President Trump called it, Candidate Trump. It is a stinking, infested swamp of corruption.
And this is not—we're not trying to be a one-sided position here, because this is under a Republican administration. This is President Trump's appointed deputy attorney general that I want fired. And so this is not I just don't like Democrats and I think we should fire all the Democrats and charge them and put them in jail. This is Republicans,
too. No, the swamp
too.
Is bipartisan.
Yes.
There's Republican rodents.
Right.
There are Democrat rodents. All right. So anyway, we will see what happens with that, but so many of, just like with Lois Lerner, so many times in Washington, D.C., we see this over and over and over again, where things are done that are an abuse of power or clearly seem illegal, and the people are never held to account, never have to suffer and it just everything just sort of fades and dies and goes away.
Yeah.
Without any, and what you do if you're the FBI, you don't want to turn over these documents, you just don't.
Well, it leads long term. Yeah. In the temporary, people may say, well, you know, it's not that big of a deal. What do you expect? It's government. But you talk about the 10, 20, 30 year impact. In 30 years, what if everybody decides that we're not going to prosecute people who break the law? I mean, it leads to anarchy in a sense,
yeah,
that the people in power get to do whatever they want and the rest of us have to follow the rules.
By the way, this particular meeting, these exact notes were turned over prior, but they were all redacted. They were blacked out. And they Judicial Watch found them in a stack of other documents, and apparently they had forgotten or missed blacking them out again. Now, you're only supposed to black out documents if they're like national security. Well, there's no national security concerns here. So, and I'm about to turn my man card in here, I'm sorry, but do you guys remember the movie The Princess Bride?
I do. You don't have to turn your man card in for that.
Okay. Well, there was in the movie, they went through the guy and the princess went through the swamp, remember, and they had the rodents of unusual size. That's the Republican and Democrat rodents, I'm thinking. Yeah. And we had to go back, and we found our swamp with actual rodents. All right. Do you remember a couple last week or the other day, Attorney General Jeff Sessions was taking some heat because he used the scriptures to justify the immigration policy of the United States. He basically quoted, I think,
Romans 13. Romans 13. You say obey the law. You have laws. The Bible tells us to obey the laws of the land, right? And that's
right.
What he was saying.
Right.
So he took no small amount of heat for saying that. He was told that scripture doesn't belong in public policy debates. I saw a whole bunch of other stuff. He had an interview with my friend and former colleague David Brody, who's now at CBN, and he kind of defended his use of scripture. This is what he had to say about it.
I don't think that was an extreme position that I took, and I directed it not to say that religion requires these laws on immigration. I just simply said to my Christian friends, you know, the United States has laws, and I believe Paul was clear in Romans that we should try to follow the laws of the government of which we are a part. Mm-hmm. I believe strongly that it is moral and decent and just for a nation to have a lawful system of immigration.
He went on to say, I'm not aware of a single nation in the world that does not have some sort of rules about who can enter and who cannot enter. I believe there is biblical support for that, too.
And wasn't over the weekend, I just heard this just in passing, so I'm not sure. I mean, you probably will know, getting my facts straight here. Is there a candidate for president of Mexico or a province or state of Mexico?
Mexican president is up for election.
Okay, is it the one who advocated flooding the United States?
Yes, one of the candidates. I'm not sure if he's in
he's
lead.
A socialist. Now, this guy's a socialist. I don't
The whole country is kind of that way down.
Yeah, this guy's a radical socialist. But he said, we're going to flood the United States.
Yeah, and
with
it's
illegal
true.
Immigrants.
I don't know. You guys played just earlier today the Hillary Clinton bite, where she was advocating for returning children, and your yellow bus policy actually is, I think, what she was advocating, although she didn't call it by that and didn't give you credit.
President Trump must have been listening last week because he recommended the same policy that Dad recommended.
Yeah.
Did he call it yellow bus?
No.
Okay. Because that would have really been something.
Yeah.
I've coined that term, the yellow bus policy, and this saves us all a lot of time and trouble. People come across your border illegally. They're doing so intentionally with full knowledge of what they're doing. They're conscious of it. Obviously, they are if they're. And you have buses. Stationed every mile or so. I know this is probably not, quote, doable everywhere because of the terrain, everything like that. I'm just saying where these people cross. You say they cross a border, and then you have border agents meet them, and you say, listen, right over there is the yellow bus. See the yellow bus? Go over there. There's a bottle of water over there. There's a sandwich over there. There's Port-a-Johns over there. And you get your sandwich. Go to the bathroom, get your water, and get on the bus because we're taking you 50 miles back into Mexico.
right,
and dropping mm-hmm. you off.
Start the long trek home.
There's no, we're not having a judge
right.
hear this. This is ridiculous.
Right.
Huh?
Yep.
We know what's going on here.
But that's why a lot of these people were coached into saying, I want asylum. Because by law, once you ask for asylum,
then you have to have a judge.
You have to have a hearing.
And the problem
okay,
is,
but they're asking for asylum. What is a, maybe we need to change our asylum rules, because what is asylum? Asylum means you're
fleeing persecution or violence, I think, something like that.
Yeah.
Where you could
so
die.
So are we accepting asylum pleas from Central American countries?
Yeah. Yes, we are. Yes. We're processing them in the normal way.
So you
present yourself at a port of entry.
What if they're lying?
Well, that's what
a lot of the hearings supposed to.
That's what the process is. Yeah. When someone comes and claims asylum, you come to a port of entry, and you say, "I am claiming asylum." They take you and your entire family. Do not separate them. Put them in some kind of housing while they await a hearing, and it's supposed to be expedited.
But you're supposed to go to a port of entry,
right?
And what they're doing is they're sneaking across, and when they get caught, they go, "I want asylum."
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, why don't they tell them no? You have to go to a port of entry.
I don't know.
You can't claim asylum here. It's the wrong place.
Yeah, that's probably an executive branch.
Well, that's basically what they're doing by putting them in detention, putting the illegal crossers in detention.
You know what? This is the fault of the people who are coming here illegally. I'm sorry. You've got to stop bringing little children and using them as pawns and ripping them from their homes. Mm-hmm. In Central America, there was a story the other day that little girl on the front cover of Time magazine.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They talked to her daddy back in Costa Rica or Nicaragua or wherever he was.
Honduras,
and he's saying, "There's my wife left with our little girl against my wishes,
and left the other two or three here."
He said, "I've got a job.
Wow,
I can support our family, but she wanted to go for the American dream." So she took our daughter and went all the way to the U.S. border.
And that's the family separation right there.
That's what I'm talking about. Why didn't anybody talk about that
situation?
Anyway, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio.
Was that supposed
to
be the good news or something?
Yeah.
Or
anyway, go ahead. Go ahead, Steve.
Facebook. You might want to start watching. Just keep an eye out on Facebook. I have actually the... New York Times went and looked at Facebook's patents that they are applying for. It's getting a little creepy out there, folks. These are seven patents that reveal something about what Facebook is looking for. Now, it should be noted at the beginning that not all of these patents have been put into use, and they may be getting them for other reasons, but these are the patents, seven of them, that Facebook... at least seven of the many patents that Facebook is seeking. Patent number one, one application discusses predicting whether you're in a romantic relationship using information such as how many times you visit another user's page, the number of people in your profile picture, and the percentage of your friends with a different gender. That's one. Number two, another proposes using your posts and messages to infer personality traits, It describes judging your degree of extroversion, openness, emotional stability, using characteristics which they use to select which ads you will see. A third patent application describes using your posts and messages in addition to your credit card transactions and location to predict when a major life event like a birth or death or graduation is likely to occur. Again, with the idea of sending maybe the certain ads your way. So it's tracking your life. A fourth considers analyzing pictures to create a unique camera signature using faulty pixels or scratches on the lens so they know exactly which pictures come from which cameras. They can use it to, if you share your camera, they can decide who you're in a relationship with.
Who's this doing this?
Facebook.
These must be some bored people.
Has a patent application that explores using your phone's microphone to identify the television shows you're watching and whether ads are muted or not. It also proposes using the electrical interference pattern created by your television power cable to guess which shows are playing. Another patent application discusses tracking your weekly routine and sending notification to other users of deviations from your routine. In addition, it describes using your phone's location in the middle of the night to establish where you live. Another patent proposes correlating the location of your phone.
Steve, that's all we need to know. How many patents they got there?
Well, I was seven. That was
That's good enough. We get the idea, don't we, Ed? I'm defaulting you for bringing up the story. I'm just saying I think we got what's going on here.
Well, Walker? Here's the thing that these companies like Facebook, I don't fault them to an extent on this privacy issue because their main goal is to make money. And if your main goal is to make money and you don't really have a moral compass on privacy, etc., then whatever goes. Whatever makes the most money when it comes to ad dollars goes. So they're creating all these ways to track people's behavior simply so they can place the ad in front of you and capitalize the most clicks, I guess you could say. So it's really the nature of the beast when it comes to the market and technology and stuff. So if you want to use technology like this, Google, Facebook, your phone, computer like I do, then you got to understand that there's not much privacy.
Especially
there.
Because Facebook is free. So you get these kinds of things where they say, you agree to our terms. Yeah. Nobody reads that. And so, okay, you're going to use Facebook free of charge. We're going to use as much information as we can, sell it so that advertisers can target you.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's the trade-off, and you just got to decide whether you're willing to do that.
Right.
Let me close this little hour out with a couple of files from the Snowflake file.
Hey, 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 Snowflake.
Snowflake.
Well, the left has identified the latest racist among us.
Good. I want to know who every single one of these people are.
This is someone who has been consistently using her body of work to include expressions of stereotypical attitudes. And, they are now saying that Laura Ingalls Wilder is the latest racist, the author of Little House on the Prairie that died like 150 years ago. She has been struck from the American Library Association's award. They have renamed an award that was named after her, but because of her pervasive racism that just surfaced in the last, couple of weeks, they have taken her name off of an award.
Now that she was accused of racism against both black people and Native Americans.
That's right, because, on the prairie, they had black people and Native Americans, and they didn't use the appropriate terms, and they probably
before the Civil War, after the Civil War?
It was after the Civil War.
After the Civil War.
It was,
so basically, because she held commonly held beliefs on the part of whites towards blacks and Native Americans that were accepted back then, but now we view them as racist.
We might because view them as racist now, but they're stereotypical.
Okay, so what I'm saying is because she lived back then and we live now, 2018, she's a racist, and so we're going to take her name off the award.
You have no business reading Little House on the Prairie anymore.
You better be careful. You need to be real careful about applying modern-day understandings or thinking or to yesteryear. People are a product of their environment, which they grow up in. Oftentimes, it doesn't mean, they can't, So you negate everything that they did good because that, They uncovered some stuff about Albert Einstein recently where he had some writings that were, racist or whatever. Are we going to negate?
Need to discard the theory of relativity.
That doesn't,
I'm just saying you need to be careful to going down this road. This is the ripping down statues and monuments and everything like that. All right. Thank you for joining us. Appreciate it, Steve.
My pleasure.
Folks, have a great day. Keep listening to American Family Radio, and we shall see you back here tomorrow.